This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Injured in the workplace? Call John Little at Malaganas Edwards Johnson.
Hit 104.7.
Now, Ned, there is a guy who was in the mafia, and he has decided to go on the run from the law.
Okay.
And he's been on the run for 7 years. So if you're going on the run from the law and you've been evading them for 7 years, I'd say that's pretty successful run, to be honest.
Either you were great at hiding, catch me if you can, like situation, you got fake disguises or whatever, or the police actually don't care that much about you.
Yeah, not the case, because he was a very notorious member of Crime Syndicate.
Oh, right.
They were very much looking for him.
Yeah.
Which is what makes this next part of the story so interesting. It's how they found him. He decided that while laying low in the Dominican Republic, it would be a good idea to start a YouTube cooking channel with his wife. So he literally started a YouTube channel that was a cooking show.
And I'm guessing because you're telling this story, they found him.
They found him. And they've openly admitted that's how they found him.
That's so funny. What was he cooking?
Italian cuisine was what he was cooking on the channel.
Okay.
But apparently that isn't so much what tipped them to it, because that's a bit stereotypical.
Yeah.
What tipped them was his obvious tattoos.
So he kind of changed
his appearance a little bit.
Yeah.
So I obviously thought, look, I'm getting away with this.
Mm-hmm.
I must look incredibly different.
Yeah.
But then he's just got the tats on his arms, and the cop's like, no, that looks a bit like who we're looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
And they looked at the tats and went, that is who we're looking for. What is the coincidence of that?
Yeah.
And they've just gone and got him.
That's so funny. He must see, if he's in the business of trying to make money, maybe he sees that kid that opens toys on YouTube and makes $50 million a day or whatever. Maybe he's like, you know what? The real racketeering is in YouTube.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I've already sowed my seeds in the underground organized crime world, but now I'll make the jump over. I get myself 500,000 subscribers.
You've seen that dad and son that just cut things in half, and all of a sudden they're millionaires.
Exactly.
And he's like, you know what? The cooking channel thing, it's worth the risk, quite frankly. It's worth the risk.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Hey, there's a problem.
Okay.
Pretty big one, to be honest.
Sure.
Heinz ketchup are running out of the packets of ketchup in the United States.
Like the ones that they have at diners and
sachets.
Stuff? Yeah, yeah, the sachets.
There is a strategic shortage of their rollout for their ketchup packets because of food delivery services and the pandemic. They weren't anticipating having to have this many packets of ketchup.
Yeah.
Because if you've been to the States, like in most restaurants, they'll have ketchup you can use in the store.
Yeah.
In fact, in a lot of places, it's literally like a paint pump of ketchup.
Yeah.
Actually, they have it here in Costco.
Yep.
You've seen the one they have in Costco. That's pretty much what they have in Macca's and
the
everything.
Big pump.
Amazing.
It's the thing that my kindergarten or primary school teacher used to spurt paint with.
Yeah.
It was like, all right, guys, do we need a heap of paint?
Here we go.
That's how people administer condiments.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. I'm all for it.
It didn't used to be like that.
But the little packets, they're running out. Now, the great news here is that I read this as the way that the clickbaity headline suggested it, which was we're experiencing a ketchup shortage.
Yeah.
And I was about ready to go on an absolute rant about how we need to, in this country, start stockpiling strategic reserves of tomato sauce and ketchup, because that that can't happen.
Yeah.
I have it with everything.
Yeah.
I put it on macaroni and cheese and turn it into like a marinara macaroni and cheese.
Please don't ever say that.
It is so damn good.
That is so offensive to anyone who's ever had marinara
sauce. Yeah.
I was going to say, you're stressed about this stockpiling, this reserve, it's at your house.
No, mate. I ran out of ketchup yesterday,
last night,
and then I saw this story this morning, and I thought to myself, I don't even have any.
It's happening to me.
It's happening to me.
You're like the United States condensed to your apartment.
Yeah. But then the great news was to find out it's actually just the crappy little packets that no one
Thank
likes.
Thank God.
That's what they're having the shortage of.
I
don't care, because you know what they're having to do at restaurants now? Those little takeaway cups.
Yeah.
They're having to pour ketchup into that to give it to people in their delivery, which is how ketchup should be delivered anyway.
And it's so much more.
It's so much more than little packets.
It's so much more ketchup.
So much more than little packets.
Actually, maybe this will lead to the shortage now, because it's no longer like they can control how much it is. It's like, actually, we're just letting it up to restaurant owners to figure out how much tomato sauce is enough.
You're not good for my mental health.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I literally just told you I was panicked about
something.
Yeah,
you worked your way out of it and I brought you back in.
And now I'm panicked about an angle of it I never even thought of. Start stockpiling sauce. That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
I'm not actually allowed to encourage people to panic buy. That's a whole thing, so don't do that. But the government, stockpile sauce.
Someone do something.
104.7's Ned and Josh. You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7. 104.7.
There is a story that's coming out of West Virginia. They are on a campaign at the moment to make a delicacy that they have here called the pepperoni roll their official state food.
Is it like a scroll, like a Vegemite scroll?
It looks kind of a little bit like a sausage roll with like pepperoni in it.
Okay,
so that's a way I would describe it. But I could be completely wrong. I've never been to West Virginia.
You've
never had a pepperoni roll.
You said before that the people aren't that happy. People are kind of annoyed.
There are some people saying no. There are some people saying yes.
Yeah.
There are some people saying, do we have a state food? Yeah. I didn't know we could do that. That's fantastic.
So it's any decision on the internet then?
Yeah, pretty much. That's exactly right. But one of them here is, they're very excited for it, is a local bakery in West Virginia who have like
who own the trademark for
it. Well, no, they have a marker out the front of their bakery that says the pepperoni roll was created here by Italian families in Fairmont to feed local coal miners. Variants now popular statewide.
Lovely.
That's what the marker says.
That's nice for them.
This has got me thinking.
Mm.
I didn't know state foods were a thing. I knew state birds, state animals,
state
emblems,
flags,
all that sort of stuff. But a state food, I've looked. I can't find if we have one here in the territory. I don't believe we do.
I haven't heard of it. If it exists, I'm yet to be made aware of it.
Contenders, obviously. Obviously, Kingsley's would have to be up there as potentially a bit of a Canberra icon.
This might annoy China, but I think Canberra does some of the best bao I've ever had.
Bao is fantastic.
It is originally from China, so I feel like they get dibs. They get first preferential treatment.
What about this too? Here's another question for you. Mm. Goodberries is technically a dessert, but I believe that could absolutely be.
That's fine.
That could absolutely be a
bit of frozen custard. Steak.
That's fine, because I would say a pepperoni roll is not a whole meal.
Yeah.
So it doesn't need to be a whole meal.
It sounds like an appetizer.
Just
to
be
me.
Kind of any kind of a food.
Yeah, and honestly, you don't see that many frozen custard places. You see a lot of frozen yogurt, some froyo, some ice cream, obviously, but frozen custard is kind of like a little bit.
It is. It's not something I've seen many places. I think Goodberries could be in with the running here.
Yeah.
I think we could also use this as a way to improve foods. And what I mean by that is occasionally, and I'm not going to name any businesses here, but you'll get some chips at a takeaway shop and you'll be just like, they're not as good as they usually are.
Mm.
Maybe in the deep fry too long, not in the bain-marie long enough. They're not as crispy as they usually are. If we use this as a motivational tactic,
right?
Like, would you like to have the best chips? Well, then do a little bit better.
Exactly.
That's what I would suggest.
You can't tell me that the, what is it, West Virginia? You can't tell me that the quality of pepperoni rolls or whatever they're called hasn't skyrocketed since there's an official one.
Like, we're going to make this the official state food. It's got to be top notch.
Exactly,
and I think that's probably what we could do here. Use it as a real motivational tactic.
Because whilst that bakery has the first, someone can have the best.
Someone could definitely do the best. Everything can be improved upon.
Exactly right.
You can go to different franchises of the same takeaway. And the chips will be better one location to the other.
Exactly right.
So if you want to have the best chips of your franchise in Canberra, and you want to be like the Woden chips from this particular franchise are the best, just improve. That's
perfect.
What I'm saying. Just
go
for it. Go for it. Absolutely fantastic.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned,
Coldest
April morning since 1999.
Yep, that's exactly right. People who have their full licenses won't have experienced that day. How's
that's
that
such
for
a,
you?
That's such a weird thing to hear. I don't like that at all. Hey, it's climbing up. We're back out of the minuses now. It feels like it's still minus one, but it was minus six like half an hour ago. So we're rapidly climbing out of what
thank
is
goodness.
Terrible. It's currently 1 degree at the moment. Heading for top of 17, so it's going to be a pretty normal day.
Mm.
But there was a bit of snow, snowy mountains last night. Tasmania has seen like heavy snow.
Yes, it has.
It's a proper cold snap. This is a proper cold snap.
Yep.
And it's like winter's just starting a little bit early. We had intentions to go camping this weekend.
Yes.
If you recall.
I do.
Did you recall?
I vaguely remember saying yes to camping.
Yeah. The 17th was when we said. That's this Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I have a wedding this weekend. So.
Oh, no.
So that's going to make it harder regardless, but sure. I'm sure I double book myself. I do it every day.
I literally am just taking a look at the plans right now for like April 17th, minimum overnight low of one.
Jesus, that's,
it's a, so I don't think the universe wants us to go camping.
Well,
I think that's where I'm sitting at the moment.
I woke up this morning and it was 1 degree when I woke up. I checked my phone because I was like, oh my God, it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
And that was inside under a doona with a fitted sheet that has like whatever. It was warm and I was freezing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if I wake up to that in a bit of fabric on an inflatable mattress with a sheet, That's going to make it a little harder to swallow.
Yeah. And not just that, but the feels like is what the problem actually is, because the feels like temperature, which as we've described is what hits you when you're outside, when wind speed's factored in, all that sort of stuff, that's what you're camping in.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not camping in an overnight low of one.
No.
And as I just said, it was minus six a second ago.
Yeah.
This is just...
It's pretty unreliable.
We are not supposed to go camping unless we can construct our own hotel at the campsite that has a fully functioning reverse cycle air conditioner and a heater.
So before we went on break, you and I went to that indoor snowing, the skiing place.
Vertical. Yeah, it's absolutely incredible.
It's insane to me that they've even been able to figure that out. Whoever did that should get a Nobel Peace Prize.
It's like a skiing treadmill. Yeah, it's amazing.
I don't know how it's worked. Why is there no thing that's like outdoor camping but inside?
I would argue, I would argue this, vertical is almost that because they've got like a real Alpine Lodge vibe going on. So if they would let me pop up a tent in there, I'd probably still feel like I was in the great outdoors.
There's some faux grass. Yeah, you could just pop up there. You'd be all right.
And the heater could go.
Yeah,
and that's the main thing I'm talking about here. Oh, God. There are probably experienced campers out there going, guys, you can just buy warm sleeping bags.
No way.
Do you understand that?
No way.
Yeah.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh.
Ned.
There is a beer that's on the way.
Yeah.
And I get excited about... like boutique beers. So when someone's like, we've got a vanilla beer. I'm like, oh, I'll give that a try. I'm like, vanilla, caramel beer. There's so many.
You're more adventurous than me when it comes to beer.
Yeah, and I don't mind it.
I've just discovered XPA.
Yeah,
which is, everyone's like, it's pretty good, dude.
That's not even
been around for a while as well.
But I do like, I could get behind like a different beer, maybe a buttery beer, whatever. But there is a beer that's coming to apparently everywhere. Apparently it's hitting shelves everywhere. And it's a Warhead beer. You know, like the lolly Warhead, the super sour ones?
Oh, wow.
Where the logo is a guy's head exploding, which is weird marketing. But apparently that's what it does to you. There's going to be a Warhead beer.
Yeah.
Now, I've had some sour beers.
Have you had the sour beer? I've never had a sour beer.
I've had like a passion fruit sour beer. There's like been an orange sour beer that I've had in the past, which I don't really like.
They seem to be quite popular.
That's it. I can see why people get into them because they're not... They are sour, but they're not like awfully sour. Mm. It's just like, oh, this is a bit bitter.
But
this
Warhead
is a Warhead
is awfully sour. That's exactly what it is. It's meant to make kids go, oh, no.
Exactly right. It's meant to, as they say, explode your head. That's how sour it is. I don't get, like, a beer in its most purest form is just like something you drink that you converse with friends. It's like
social.
A chilled drill. And my perfect beer would be like a Sunday afternoon, a warm afternoon, and you're just sitting around having a beer with some friends, having some laughs.
Capital XPA is my perfect beer at the moment.
There you go. But with Warheads, every time you drink it, you're going to be like, ah!
Yeah, well, that's the design. So either they're tapering it down so the beer's just like a normal sour beer and people find it lovely and drinkable.
But then that doesn't live up to the Warhead name.
Don't call it a Warhead beer.
Exactly.
You've got to have one or the other, which means that you are just going to be designing a can of...
Oh, God! That's what I mean. No one's going to enjoy this. No one's going to be sitting around at like a family Christmas lunch like, oh, pass me a prawn. Also, I'll have a sip of this beer.
Oh, no.
Jesus!
Granddad's having a heart attack. No, he's just had some more hit beer. He's fine. His face is okay. You know what I want?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I want.
Yep.
I want, if we're going to do lollies, I want Ghost Drop beers.
Well, that's the same problem, isn't it?
No, because they're not sour. They're like nice lollies, and they just change the color of your tongue.
Yeah, that's like
a
really
Wonka
thing.
And now I'm saying that out loud. That's vodka cruises. That's all that is.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, tell you what else isn't good. Well, I guess it's good depending on what side of the story you're on. But there is an Adelaide deli, which I have looked into, and it's like a tuck shop, takeaway shop, milk bar, whatever you want to call it, that have had a bit of a problem. But it's kind of also worked out for them because something stopped people from leaving. An errant turkey.
A turkey?
A turkey, like a gobble-gobble Thanksgiving dinner turkey.
I understand.
Well, that's it. I don't know if people think I'm just calling some dude a loser a turkey.
Yeah.
But no, it actually was the animal a turkey, who apparently was really aggressive, walked into the front of the deli and was like aggressively pecking at people, gobble-gobbling. I don't know what that's called.
That sounded like a pigeon. Yeah. That was a pigeon that had intimately known a kookaburra. It's like a kookaburra pigeon.
But was pecking at people, wouldn't let them leave to the point where they had to call the police, and the police came and like grabbed him and put him in a paddy wagon, and they just took him to like an animal shelter or whatever.
Well, can I mean, I don't know. Are there just just turkeys walking around Adelaide?
Like, is so. That,
how does, where does a turkey, I don't think I've ever seen a turkey in my life.
I've never.
Actually, I think I could lock that in. Yeah. I don't think I've ever actually seen a turkey.
I've never seen a wild turkey. I've seen definitely ones in the shop.
But a
I've
drunk wild yeah, turkey? Yeah, yeah, I've never yeah. seen a wild
I've
turkey.
I've drunk some turkey.
Jeez, there's been a lot of alcohol yeah, this morning.
This has been a long 2 weeks. No, and they put him in the paddy wagon. But yeah, you're right. I've never seen a turkey in the wild.
This is happening a bit, actually, because in Thailand, Komodo dragon in a convenience store just wouldn't leave.
Right.
And was trying to get like higher, like it was yeah, trying to climb yeah, up yeah. shelves and stuff. So yeah. it obviously didn't want to be in there either. Yeah. It was like, oh God,
what is this?
What have I stumbled into yeah. here? I thought this was like a cave or something.
Yeah.
And this bright lights and
yeah,
people, and this is not what I wanted at all.
Yeah.
I just, what about shops or animals all of a sudden really interested in?
Well, yeah, shop owners taking animals to like keep people in their stores, because essentially, if you get this turkey or the Komodo dragon,
yep.
you're not allowing any new business.
Mm.
It's just you're locking in,
you're
the,
locking in the old business. Yeah.
yeah, and then if you're like, hey, look, I reckon for $50, I could probably sort this turkey out.
Well, did the turkey enter the store or did he just hang out the front
no,
of the store?
No, he was in the store. He was in as well. He was yeah, in and out. But then he never came fully in, because I think when he realized there was so
just
many people, he was
door.
Like, well... But then if anyone came to approach him, he was like, no.
You know how little kids like pretend to have jobs?
Yeah.
You know, like I'm a fireman today.
Yeah, yeah,
and like
yeah.
and they help, and sometimes if they're like at a place where that job actually happens,
yeah.
they'll like the adult there will like, oh, that's kind of cute.
Yeah.
You can stand with me while I'm doing this,
you
that's
can go
fine.
Down the fireman's pole.
Maybe that turkey just went to like Costco or something, saw like a greeter and went, I want to do that,
that
job.
Seems like
I'm
like
gonna go to the front door and just stand here.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
There has been a bit of an interesting mishap with acceptance emails for some kids that are trying to get into university.
Okay.
In the US. This is the University of Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a program they do that accepts about 36 students a year.
Okay.
And 500,000 people were told they were in.
Well, they accidentally sent out a message to 500,000
yep.
people and they can only let 30, what, six
yeah.
in?
Yes, no, 36. So, yeah. Well, yeah, 36. Sorry. I wouldn't get in, obviously, unless I got this mistaken email, in which case I'd be sitting there going, I'm going to uni.
So not even a couple of dozen thousand.
No.
Literally just a couple of...
Half a million people were told they were going to be in this program that's meant for 36 people.
What are they doing?
So they immediately sent out an email saying,
yeah.
oh, my God, so sorry.
Yeah.
That's not meant to have happened. That
yeah.
was a technical glitch. The people who are in the program have already received letters, not
right.
emails. They've
yeah,
received
yeah.
letters.
Yeah, that is so, usually how they do it.
Yeah, so, sorry.
That's awful.
That
how
is
quick,
awful.
How quickly yeah. did they send the
within 24 hours.
Okay, good. So yeah. at the very, I mean, still you get the excitement of, oh my God, I'm going to the University of Kentucky.
People made phone calls to parents,
yeah.
all this sort of stuff, just to let them know, I'm in, I'm going to
yeah,
uni.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny though, because you when you delve a little bit deeper into this story, it gets very confusing, because this is the quote from the spokesperson for the uni. They've just said, vast majority of people had not, nor had the vast majority of these students even expressed an interest in the program. So there's obviously a mailing list they
yeah.
have, and they've just accidentally sent, yep, you're in. Most of the people on the list apparently didn't even put their hands up to be in this program.
You can imagine.
So that
you,
makes it yeah. a little bit better when you realize you're getting an acceptance letter for something you never applied for. So
yeah.
no, you wouldn't have excitement. You'd just have confusion.
Like, oh, what? Yeah, do I have to go to uni now?
Doesn't change the fact that there is still a segment of people that received
yeah.
a yes when they absolutely
we're
going to
get a no.
Yeah, we're going to get a no.
Yeah, and look, oh.
I feel so bad for them.
I feel really bad for them. But yeah, how strange. It's like, geez, the bar's set pretty low for this school. If I just have to sign up for a mailing list and I'm in.
Well, not to hang it on the University of Kentucky, I'm sure it's a fine school. But one of the people were like, I had to Google just to make sure it was a real college.
Because
I've heard of them.
It sounds real. If it's University of and then a place,
yeah.
that's, I mean, that's real enough.
Yeah, no, well... Ask Donald Trump about that.
Yeah,
there was
actually,
a little bit of a problem there.
Hit 104.7, Ned and Josh. This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, over the break, so we had 2 weeks off, I found myself injured. Now, I'm going to show you the bruise. It's going to seem like I'm going to expose myself
oh,
at
right,
work,
okay,
but I promise you that
yes,
I'm
not. No.
It's just very close to my undie line.
Is it thigh? Thigh
it's like,
area?
It's like here.
Yes.
Right. Can you see?
Yeah. I mean, we live together. I've also seen you nude. So
oh, that's true.
Yeah. Wait.
See that?
Oh, that is a sizable. You're going to have
that's
to
from,
get,
that's
stand
from two
up
weeks
a little
ago.
Bit. Well, yeah. That's a sizable bruise. That
goes,
is a sizable bruise.
And it was purple. It's only
yeah.
that happened the first... I think in the first 3 days of me being home.
Yeah, right.
Okay, here's what
happened. That's a big bruise.
That's a big bruise.
I'm trying to explain it. It's like from knee all the way up to,
yeah,
yeah you probably, it's good that you work with your best mate.
Exactly.
You, you couldn't show someone that.
I couldn't show anyone else that. And there's a lot of cameras in this studio, which is not good, but whatever.
So the thing here is, I have said that I would give you sympathy for the bruise, for the injury.
It hurts so much.
I feel really bad for you. That's terrible.
Here's how it happened, and here is where all the sympathy leaves the room.
Goes out the window. Okay.
Like my dignity from just revealing my underpants.
Yeah, keep going.
I was at a party, and at this party, it was like a double story. My friends had just moved into this brand new house. There's like four of them living in there, so it's actually quite a big house, which is cool. And we were all having some beverages.
Yes.
It was a bit late in the afternoon. The sun was going down.
Oh.
And someone suggested, hey, in the bathroom, you can climb out the window and we can all sit on the roof and have beers on the roof.
Workaholic style.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. And I love workaholics, and so I was like, this is a great idea.
Very good. All right.
Get up there. And I've probably had too many beers to get on a roof.
Okay, yeah, so this is...
So I climb out.
You've had enough beers to think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
so
there's a very thin line where it's like, it's a good idea and you shouldn't do it.
I think a perfectly sober get on the roof is not a great idea. So I think, yeah, you've gone, no, I can do that.
I can do this.
You've overestimated.
I got out. We were all out there. Great. Have some beers. It was actually fantastic.
How high is this roof? Single story, double story?
It was on the top of the first story. So it was like one.
Okay, so I'm just trying to anticipate where the story's going, and now I'm becoming concerned, even though you're sitting in front of me and I know you're fine.
Okay. So what happened was I got out there. Fine. We're all out there having beers.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's probably where my problem was, whereas I kept drinking once again.
We understand what the situation is.
I go to walk down to go back. We're all going back inside. It's dark. It's cold. We're all going inside.
You've got to go back through the
bathroom window. And I walk down and go to sit on the roof, but it's on a massive lean.
Of course, it's a roof. Yeah.
So I sit with my face, with my back facing like the edge of the roof, and I can't say this many more times, but after the amount of beers I had, I went to sit down and just fell off the roof. I essentially backflipped off the roof unintentionally.
When somebody pulls a chair out from under somebody, except it was a whole house's roof.
So I fell back and I hit my back onto the roof and then flipped off and landed straight on a rake on my leg. That's what the bruise is from. I hit a rake. I just went...
Oh, you are so lucky. You are so lucky.
Yeah, I know.
It was like a metal rake?
No. It was one of the plastic ones.
Oh, thank God.
Imagine
if you just stabbed yourself with the rake.
Impaled myself with the rake.
Oh, God.
No, it was one of the plastic ones that snap if you leave them in the sun for 2 days.
It was no match for your thighs. Yeah.
No one at this party or in the world, I think, felt bad for me. There wasn't even a second of, are you okay? Even though I just, like you said, fell in a rake, the immediate reaction was, oh, my God, that was so funny. You're an idiot.
It does actually sound a little bit sick. It sounds like you did a backflip.
Yeah,
that sounds cool.
If I'd landed it,
you'd landed on your feet.
It would have been the party of the decade, but I unfortunately landed on my face and leg.
Hard to get sympathy for essentially a live recreation of Australia's Funniest Home Videos.
Exactly
it's very hard to get sympathy.
It was a missing episode of The Three Stooges, I reckon, because I felt pretty bad having everyone at this party laugh at me while I was also in pain. Like, at the end of the day, I was sore.
Not a good combination.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Something that you and I have been big champions of on the show, I love them, I can't get enough of them, are the scooters.
They have a theme song.
They have a theme that we use on this show.
Yeah.
I'm a fully boot scooting baby. I love the scooters.
Yep.
Any chance to get on them, I will.
It's a lot of fun, and I saw you were you in Canberra? I guess you were, but we went our separate ways over the holidays, and I got a lot of photos of you and your friend Oscar were you even doing anything?
We were just literally riding around on the scooters.
That's what it
seemed
like.
This is the story I was going to give you in just a second. So what's happened is... Neuron, one of the orange scooters, not the purple ones. The purple ones are Beam. And some people think they're blue, but you know what?
They're purple.
They're absolutely purple. Neuron have announced that their orange scooters have clocked up a million kilometres.
A million?
A million kilometres.
That's impressive.
So September last year was when they were introduced.
God, has it been that... It seems like it's been way longer.
The good people at the Riot Act have managed to do some number crunching, which I appreciate because it means I don't have to work this out. That would be going around Lake Billy Griffin 200,000 times.
Wow.
Yeah. So obviously they don't just do that.
No,
they go everywhere
around
Braddon and Civic and all that sort of stuff, and also the Belconnen little zone that I wish was actually Gungahlin. But anyway, you could scoot to the light rail. Anyway, we won't get into that. But the thing here is for me, enough.
Enough?
Enough of announcing every milestone.
Yeah, okay.
Because I think, didn't they have an announcement for like a million passengers or a million trips or something?
I think a million trips.
Now we've got a million kilometres.
Yeah.
Enough.
You don't think that needs to be an announcement for everything?
Not for everything.
Yeah,
okay. I mean, we love the scooters. Mm-hmm. We're excited to have them. But stop working on the free publicity angle. There doesn't need to be an announcement every time something happens. I tell you what there needs to be.
Yeah.
Improve location settings on the things.
Yeah, you want going.
Yeah, no. So I was at Caribou the other day with my friend.
Yeah.
It took us 25 minutes to find one of the ones.
Yeah.
It was like, it was there and we could see it was there. Yeah. And I walked up and I'm like, this is here.
Yeah.
This, where we are now is here.
Yeah.
And all we could figure was somebody had taken it up to their apartment. That's the only way.
Right.
Because we were standing on it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is where it says it is. And it wasn't there. I reckon somebody had literally carried it up the stairs to their apartment.
I don't know how that doesn't happen all the time, because I feel like that, maybe that's why they don't bring it to Gungahlin, because there's so many apartments there.
But like, yeah, we can't. It's not your personal scooter.
Exactly.
You have to leave it out the front. I know you want it to be there when you come out in the morning, but no.
You don't get to dibs one.
No. And the problem with that, too, is like, I noticed this was in the Kingston area. Like, a lot of the places that are not apartment buildings, but like the townhouse complex.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are a bunch of, but there's like a communal driveway.
Mm-hmm.
People were putting them in there.
Right.
And I'm like, people are going to get done for trespassing just trying to find scooters. You've got to leave them on the street. Don't take them off. That's what we need to work on. Work on that technology.
No more miles.
Stop announcing every time something happens.
That was the Ned and Josh. Ned and Josh podcast.
Podcast. John Little, your Canberra region workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Hit 104.7.